Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. As I was reflecting on today's lessons, I had a memory years ago when my son Mark was 4 years old, and we were at Rehoboth Beach, and we were in the water there, and I think it was Joan or one of your family said, step back a little bit in the water with Marty, want to take a picture of us. What I didn't see was this gigantic wave came, and it smacked me and knocked me down, and I lost Mark. And I panicked, and I jumped into the water and got him, and he was crying, but he was alive, and I was so thankful. And I never forget that panic. You know, you parents who have lost your children, it's just like a panic there. And I was so grateful to get him back. And then when we were in Rome at the Vatican, we lost Mark again in 2006. He was looking at the tapestries, and Mark was kind of floating around watching all the beauty of the tapestries and all the art. And we lost him. We found him in the Sistine Chapel. So, and now he's in Singapore, which is kind of far away, but at least I know where he's at. But as I was reflecting on this, I was thinking about how much I love Mark and how much I missed him and how much it scared me that I could lose him. And when you think about God, that's nothing compared to how much God loves us, how much God cares for each one of you, how God is so happy you're here today, and how God wants all people to know his love, to be included in his church, to worship him, to be fed with the word and sacrament, and to be strengthened to go out and love others and to forgive others and bring others into this great community, this body of Christ we call the church, and to the family. He shows God's love for the lost, people that Jesus would show that too. That's why we say Jesus is God, because Jesus, the Spirit of God is in Jesus, and Jesus was God. And he loved people, and he didn't want to see people separated from the love of God. He didn't want to see tax collectors or prostitutes or sinners or lepers or Samaritans. He wanted them all to be part of that family of God, what he called back then the kingdom of God. And after the resurrection, we call the Church of Jesus Christ. So he told the story of the lost sheep and the lost coin. You know, the lost sheep. You know, you have 100 sheep and one gets lost. Would you go after one and forget the other 99? Well, according to Jesus, that's how God feels about us. Every sheep, every person is valuable to God. And so God would do this. What would happen if the shepherd said, well, I still have 99, I'll let that one go. What would happen to that little lamb? What would happen to it? It would die. But instead, the shepherd leaves the 99 and goes after the lost sheep, and the little sheep is brought back, just like the depiction of Jesus with the little lamb around his neck, bringing it back, and that was a celebration. You know, that is the earliest depiction of Jesus in the catacombs we saw in Rome. With the Good Shepherd, and the Christians got that from the Romans. It's called the philanthropist. The philos, from Greek, love, anthropos, human being, a person who loves people, philanthropist. And that's how they saw Jesus as the great one. And in fact, when I look at that, it reminds me of the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And how God loves us. And I'm so glad when I was in elementary school at Trinity Lutheran in Elwood City, they made me memorize the 23rd Psalm. And I hope, Jerry, you memorize the 23rd Psalm in Elizabethan, because that's the most beautiful language. And, you know, it maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And I read a story about a chaplain in the French army years ago, and the soldiers were preparing to go into battle, and he wanted them to be strengthened to go into battle and know that God was with them. So he said that they'd use their hand as remembering this. You know, the little finger, the, and then the ring finger, Lord, big finger, is, and then the index finger, my, and the thumb is my shepherd. To remember that. And remember that the Lord is my shepherd. And the battle happened, and after the battle, they found one soldier who was dead, and he had his hand like this over his index finger. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is your shepherd. It's personal. And he knew that by doing that, even in the danger of battle, he might not go home to his family, but he'd go home to his heavenly Father. So either way, he's going home. He's going home. He remembered that. The Lord is my shepherd. That the living Jesus would never, ever leave that soldier. And no matter what happened in his life, good or bad, God's love would be with him, and he would bring good out of it. God blesses us who know that we, too, are lost without him. God blesses us to know that we, too, make mistakes. Sometimes we do sin, rebel against God. And there, when we repent and go back to our baptism, we go back to Jesus, there is more rejoicing in heaven over one lamb that was lost, that came back, than over the 99 who need no repentance. Did you ever meet one of the people in the world that think they aren't a sinner? That they make no mistakes, that they are the greatest, they never have to ask for forgiveness? Those people are so uptight and upright, you don't want to be around those people. They're so insufferable. And it's so sad that they don't know they need the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God loves them too. They just are stupid. They just are stupid. And we have to enlighten them. That's why we are children of the light, to show that, yeah, I'm a sinner, you're a sinner, but we're loved by God, by God's grace. We're a saint and a sinner. And we live in that tension. That's the reality of being a human being in this world. And anybody that's honest knows that. Jesus told this to help people know that. And also about the woman who lost her coin. Why would she go to so much trouble? What if you lost a quarter or a penny? Would you go crazy and try to... No. But like I showed Journey, that the Bedouins, even today, those 10 coins would be around, worn around her neck, and it would fall off, and she had lost it. And this was her inheritance. This was her savings account. This was her, you know, what she could live on. And she looked all over the place for it. She swept for it until she found it. And in both cases, when the shepherd found the lost sheep, and when the woman found the lost coin, they call together their friends and they show their joy. Do you show that kind of joy with Jesus Christ in your life? That you're saved by God's grace, and the joy of knowing that you're a child of God, and to show people that they'll see something in you and say, "What is that?" And then you can say to them, "Let me tell you about Jesus who saved me and loves you and saves you." It says here in our reading that the angels in heaven were also partying and celebrating because the people have repented and returned to God. And God calls us to celebrate. When little Gracie was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we celebrated. When somebody repents and they know the Lord Jesus Christ, and they know they're saved by grace, and they know it in their heart, and it's not just words or just, "Oh, yeah. No, it's something, wow, it changes. It's transformation. There's joy. And when the Word of God becomes alive for someone, do you ever have that in your life? When suddenly the Word of God became alive for you, and Jesus Christ was real to you, and the Bible became alive for you, and the Spirit touched you, and life was different. Do you ever have that experience, anybody? Oh, no. We got work to do. But there's a party going on. You see, in the Jewish belief, and Jesus was a Jew, don't forget that. He grew up with the Psalms in the Old Testament. Heaven and earth fit together. And for earth to be alive, what's happening in heaven has to be on earth. And what's happening on earth affects heaven. Remember, Jesus said, "What you bind on earth, we bound in heaven. And what you loose on earth, we loosed in heaven." He told the apostles in John's gospel. And we pray every Sunday, what? "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." There's a connection there. There's a connection there. That's why Jesus told us to pray that. And so we celebrate. We celebrate. We're here. We're here. And we celebrate through word and sacrament. We're here. And we're going to have a picnic today. And we're going to celebrate our relationship together. But you know what? There's a lot of people that are here. Some people walking around that lake. Some people as we're having our picnic, they're going to ride their bicycle over the hill. And they don't know Christ. They don't know the joy of being born again. So maybe when we're having our picnic and we see somebody from a peripheral vision, we say, hey, come here. You want some chicken? You want some potato salad? You want some punch? You may bring beer. No beer. Okay, well, forget the beer. But yeah, come and join us. Well, who are you guys? Oh, we belong to St. Paul's. Well, what's St. Paul's? Let me tell you about Jesus. If you got problems with that, get one of those brochures about forgiveness, Jesus. It got right there. It's really, it's all summarized in those little books there, back there. We could talk about that. But to know when you do that, and somebody's eyes open, and there becomes a little glimmer in their eyes, there is rejoicing in heaven. Just like when we gather here, and we sing the hymns, or we pray the prayers, or we hear the word, we celebrate. We meet each other, we celebrate. And the angels in heaven are celebrating. And they're rooting for us to bring more people in, because who does Jesus want to be in his church? Everybody. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.